Hey, Sister Ramen.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Okay.
Did we have a challenging day today?
We did.
We did. Yes, hey, everybody. Somewhat. Hope you're doing well. Hope you had a really good day. We had a good day.
Oh, yeah.
But it was challenging. We're going to talk about it. And we hope you were striving in the Lord today. Want to share our day with you on our audio edification today. We'll talk about why we had a challenging day. Well, let's see. Well, we preached yesterday at a festival that went on for another day, and we decided it was kind of small and didn't think there would be that many new people there, so we decided not to come back Saturday.
Yeah.
And so we picked another event about 20 miles away in another town, and we kind of messed up.
And we didn't know.
We didn't know. We picked a Roman Catholic parish event where they were going to have like a carnival, and we were just going to be on the sidewalk and hold gospel signs and talk to people.
Yeah.
Well, we got there, and there was like 20 people there. That's it. And they were way over in the middle of their courtyard under a beer tent. Imagine it. Beer tents at a Catholic church. Yeah, I guess that's pretty common.
Yeah, I guess so.
So then we decided... that wasn't going to work out, and we started driving around, and we were going to go downtown, and what did we see, Sister Amin?
We saw a great big humongous farmer's market that was just closing.
Right there. We missed. We knew it was there. We didn't think it was that big. It was huge. It was closing as we drove by. By the time we would find parking, we wouldn't get there. So we kind of, we were both saying, man, we feel kind of weird today because it's a Saturday. We're not out witnessing at an event.
Right.
It just threw us off a little bit.
Yeah, I was telling Brother Two Posts, you know, I was like unsettled or something. It was like, it was flesh.
And it taught us,
I had to get rid of it.
It taught us to be flexible, to not plan on things because things can change. So we ended up going around and doing some other witnessing, which we did do, and decided to go to another area and put ourselves in a position maybe to go out to stand outside and preach at a church tomorrow, Sunday morning.
Right, and I think later we're going to talk about maybe this was all in God's timing.
Yeah, maybe. And so I say we blew it, but maybe God's plan was better. It's always better.
Could be totally different than what we're thinking.
Yeah, I would have liked to preach at that big farmer's market, but God maybe had other plans, and we'll talk about that. But before we do, Sister Amin, I know you have something on your mind today. What do you want to talk about? Right out of the gate, right at the beginning, right at the start, right at the forefront, right before we get going. What do you think of that? Are you ready?
I guess so.
Okay.
We were talking about... Hold on, I'm getting to my notes. I got thrown off a little bit. We were talking about lines.
Yeah.
Lines of, like, gray areas and where it comes to the point where somebody in their own conviction... can determine where that line would
like go
be.
Either way.
Yeah, there are, and we would say maybe those could be some gray areas because it's not exactly black and white. We know what sin is and what obedience is, but then there's that little area in between. Maybe you want to share more on that.
Yeah, just we just started talking about, like, one topic I'll talk about later that came up, brought it up, and then we started talking about. We said, you know, there's a lot of areas where we got to walk the line, make sure. I always teach men and women when we're counseling them, fall on the side of God always. Fall on the side of righteousness. Fall on the side of holiness. Fall on the side of sound doctrine. Don't be falling on the side of flesh and the culture. And you'll always be leaning towards God. So God said, draw near to me. I'll draw near to you. So I teach people to do that. But some of these areas, we're going to talk about a few. Why don't you list a few and we'll go through them real quick. That we started talking about going, the Holy Spirit and the Word has to help us navigate. And I do teach people, the truth is in the middle of the road. There's a ditch on each side of the road. We got to make sure that we're staying somewhere in the middle of the road. Maybe not, you know, it's not always going to be exactly perfect. We strive to be perfect, fully mature and complete, but we stay in the middle of the narrow road. So we'll talk about some of these that we're talking about, and it'll give you an idea. What would be the first one, Sister Amin?
These aren't like in order or
no.
We were just randomly listing them off. Like gluttony.
Yeah, gluttony. So the idea is, I just told brothers, we were on a phone call. I said, if I sit down and eat one cheeseburger, and Sister Amin made me a delicious cheeseburger, which every once in a while she does, and I eat one, I don't think anybody's going to call me a glutton. No problem. What if I said, hey brothers, I ate 10, or I ate 12, or I ate 20. And they kind of snickered, and I said, that'd be crazy, right? So it's just telling you, like, gluttony, where is the line? And I don't have to be fat. I could still be a glutton. in my mind, in my appetite. And so gluttony is one to think about. Where do you draw the line? And that's something that there's no hardcore biblical answer on, just concepts and be led by the Spirit. How about another one?
Like drunkenness? Drunkenness. Kind of fits along with the gluttony thing.
Yeah, what were we talking about with the brothers today?
That.
Yeah.
Alcohol, wine.
Yeah, we're talking about a man that a brother met witnessing and was trying to say that he's using alcohol to soothe his woes, and he quoted a Proverbs verse, which I'm going to have a teaching on coming up. And that's not exactly right. He kind of twisted a little bit. But there is medicinal purposes for alcohol. It's not ruled out in the New Testament.
Right.
Paul says leaders should not be of much wine. How much is too much?
That would be determined. Somebody might be able to have just a sip of it, and that's...
Yep.
If any more would be too much, and some could have a little bit more. Kind of like food, you know?
Yep.
I mean, it's something you're putting within you. You got to make your own decision with the conscience and the Holy Spirit.
And Sister Amin and I come from a drinking background. When we were before we were in Christ, we both drank and went out and got drunk. And so there's that place where you got to make sure you're not getting buzzed, you're not getting drunk. And if you're using wine as for health reasons, or even like kind of like to calm your nerves, some people will use it for, there could be a fine line to where you're going too far. So it's another area where you gotta, we have no answers for these in Scripture. This is where we have to be guided by the Holy Spirit and really walk with great wisdom. What would be another one?
Right. Being angry with a brother or sister.
Yeah. So there is such a thing. Paul says, do not sin in your anger. There's such a thing as righteous anger. Jesus made a whip in John 2. So we got to be careful. Jesus said in Matthew 5, if you have aught and you're angry with your brother without a cause.
Yeah.
So there is a place to be angry with a cause, but not be angry without a cause. And then what's a just cause?
Right. And you just said another one that I didn't have on the list. Righteous anger, which would encompass right. many different things,
yep.
not just that.
I'm mad about abortion. Okay, that's righteous anger. Watch out, because you could get mad about other things that maybe isn't so righteous.
Righteous anger, like when we're witnessing and people constantly defend their sin.
Yep.
We have to be careful we don't get in the flesh.
Yeah.
And get angry because you're tired of hearing it.
Right.
You just have to rightfully divide that righteous anger.
Yeah, and I think what I want to say is all of these that we're bringing up, they're not hard doctrine, meaning instructions in God's Word tell us exactly what to do. These are areas where we have to navigate based upon the context, the situation, who we are, and again, use wisdom and the Holy Spirit.
All right, here's one. Feminism in preaching the gospel.
Yeah, I want you to talk about that for ladies.
People on the streets or whatever, like when I run into a man, I can share many topics with them and warn him about it, even if he claims to be a believer, depending on where we are. I'm real careful how far I go.
Yeah.
But I can hit many topics and say, this is why we are out here, and I can go through what's on the gospel card. But I have to be careful that I don't step in underneath
right.
those.
And there's a fine line there.
And teach. I can answer some questions yeah. they may ask, but yeah. That's guided by the Holy Spirit on the witnessing thing. There's no black and white
right.
on that.
Yeah. The yes. key there for a woman is make sure you're not trying to usurp the authority and make sure you're staying behind your authority. And Sister Amin's always good about saying, well, my husband's over there. He's talking to somebody right now. Let me talk to you just for a couple of minutes and he'll be coming over because I can't teach you. So she's not trying to usurp. She's not trying to teach, but she's trying to stand in the gap to talk to somebody that maybe needs help until I'm done with somebody else and then I can come and help him. Or she'll say, wait around, or she'll say, email my husband.
Yeah.
So she's trying to help. So that's another fine line, ladies, you have to walk through.
Yep. The time that you use for restoring.
Yeah, we talk about this a lot. So I teach brothers, and I'll teach sisters this too. So we work, we sleep, we study in the Word of God, we fellowship, and then, of course, we preach the gospel. These are the main things we do in our life. And then there's a time to go into God's creation, get away from everything, everyone, and restore yourself and find peace and refuge. That's a great thing. Jesus did it. Got to be careful. There's a lot of guys that do it, a lot of people that do it like as a hobby, and they do it all the time, and they're not even pouring out to thus then go be restored. They're just restoring, and it really becomes idleness.
Yeah.
And so that's another fine line you got to watch out for. Do you really need restoring before you go restore? Kind of like eating if you're not really hungry. Do you really need to eat a right. lot of food if you're not hungry?
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of mindset.
Yeah, maybe right after that could be like, not, like I said, not labeling it in order, but I just saw this laziness.
Laziness.
It's hard to tell if somebody's being lazy or
not. Yeah, being lazy. Yeah, some man says, I had days off for work, so I took a day off work. And you go, oh, okay. Yeah, I just sat around and did nothing. And you go, huh, sat around and did nothing for a whole day. Okay, maybe it wasn't feel good or something. And all of a sudden you start seeing that as a pattern or something. And you go,
yeah.
Hey, brother, you're doing a lot of laying around doing nothing. Aren't we supposed to be productive for the kingdom? What's going on here? And so, again, there's a fine line that we have to walk through to in our own life and when we see these things and brothers or sisters to help them.
Right. Yeah, and I have a whole verse-by-verse teaching segment on the Proverbs 31 woman.
Right.
Check her out and see how much of a hard worker she was.
Yeah.
Another one would be like redeeming the time.
Yeah, redeeming the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, that's a command from Scripture. Doesn't tell us exactly how to do it, but we need to be doing it. Well, how are you doing that? And every man, every woman needs to order their life so that they're redeeming the time as best they can. It's another one I just thought of, praying unceasingly.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we know we can't pray every second of the day, 24 hours a day. We get that. Praying unceasingly means keep praying, don't stop. How much prayer?
Right.
If somebody said, how often should I pray? Well, be led by the Spirit, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah. Internet use.
Yeah, that's a big one. Some people can use the internet, never be tempted. Other people had to kick the porn habit. Now they got to be on, have accountability, and maybe they shouldn't even have an internet phone. And then the people in between got to be careful, watching things they shouldn't be watching, watching things that maybe they watch too much.
I was just going to say that. A lot of believers aren't going to be watching things they really shouldn't.
Right.
Or if they do, they're going to be quickly convicted. But there are good and pure and true things, you know, like if you're learning how to homestead, how to cook, how to bake, how to do things, you could easily get swept away.
Or some nature things could be, some nature things teaching children, a nature video or something, if it's good, pure, and true. Mm-hmm. But that can also become entertainment. We have to watch out.
Too much, yeah. And everybody has to use their own discernment.
Discernment, yeah. I'm glad you brought that word up. Discerning that which is good and evil.
Yeah, I got three more. I know there's a whole bunch more. We go through disciplining children.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that verse about fathers not, I should have looked that up. Fathers not,
yeah, it's on the tip of my tongue.
No. It's like
embittering them.
Yeah, being overbearing on the children. You saints listening, I know some of you are answering what that verse is.
Yeah, it can't come to our tongues right now, but yeah.
Yeah, so
it's about like embittering, don't make your children embittered.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Bring them to wrath or something
like
that.
Yep, yep. And then also I'm thinking about when Proverbs where it says beat him.
Beat him with a rod.
Yeah,
and, he won't
and
die.
I'm thinking, oh yeah, beat him with a rod. And I'm like, okay, be careful, Dad.
Yeah.
That's pretty strong verbiage. You got to have good wisdom there and make sure that you're not literally beating him to where he's being physically harmed in the sense of scarring and bleeding, but inflicting pain to teach him a lesson.
Right. And, correcting is good, whether it's to children or if maybe it's sister to sister or husband to wife, however that goes. Constant correcting when maybe there's sometimes they could have learned within that.
Right.
Without a good balance on the other side to wear a person down.
That'd be like being overcritical.
Yeah, pretty much when it's not always necessary. If it's not sin, it doesn't always need to be so-called corrected. But some people call it correction when it's just more like nitpicking.
And we could do it to ourselves and we could do it to others.
We can,
You can be so critical of yourself, you're frozen, you don't do anything. You can be so critical of others, you're like seen as critical without building them up as well.
Well, right now, I'll just jump in here and I'll confess in the past, way back in my zeal, knowing some women that were striving on or seemed to be, and I was trying to help them, and in my zeal, I just kept telling them, well, maybe you should do this, maybe you should try that, maybe you should try this, maybe you should try that. And as I look back, it wasn't sinful. Right. I was zealous, and I wasn't like being mean, but I think maybe it might have worn them down a little bit.
Right,
as
perhaps.
They were new and striving, maybe there possibly.
Maybe there's a different, better way to do it as you learn in maturity,
Yeah. Two more. Gossip. Gossip is sinful, but where does something become gossip?
Yeah, that's a whole, I think I have an teaching article on gossip, and that's a good one to watch out for. We don't want to be gossipers. We want to be seizing everything with salt and make sure that we're doing everything rightly that's discerned for that person's best interest and not spreading lies or not talking behind people's back, saying things we would not say to their face.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the last one I got here is like partiality, preferring.
Oh, that's a big one.
One person over the other. So if you got a give body of believers,
yeah, I was gonna say, give us an example.
A couple people who talk a little bit more with each other. Nothing wrong with that, as long as it's not overbalanced one way or another. Because you might have like a couple older women who connect a little bit better, a couple of younger women connect a little better, but you can't forget that in between.
Right, yeah, you got to be careful if you start excluding people or start avoiding people because you don't like them as much, when really there's a lot of growth to be had in both you and them if you guys could find ways to communicate. And so, yeah, that partiality, that God hates partiality.
Yeah,
so all of those things just to think about, all those different topics that we have to weave through, and that's where discernment, as Sister Amen said, that's where wisdom comes in, that's where being led by the Spirit, that's where studying to rightly divide the Word of God, all those things, and then you can walk through, I call it the minefields, walk through all these issues that are minefields and stay in the middle of the narrow road.
Yeah, and also if you have brethren that you trust, you could, sisters, you could ask a sister and say, hey, you know, I was wondering about this particular situation.
Yeah.
And then get some input,
right,
some wisdom on how to maybe navigate that the next time.
Yeah.
And just, you know, each time you learn and grow.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. That was a good topic. I'm glad we brought that up. I wanted to talk about steering conversations. Is that important in witnessing?
Oh, it is. I had to learn that.
We had an example today. When we get to it, Sister Emma will maybe talk about that. But I just wanted to encourage mostly men here because they're out doing street preaching, but sisters too, when you talk to people, learn how to steer the conversation. If you're not careful, if you don't steer conversations, you meet somebody in the street, you're only going to get to talk to them for maybe 15, 20 minutes. That's a long time.
Wow, if you get that long.
If you get that long. Sometimes we get half an hour. That's really rare. If we let them talk for 25 minutes about all their sin and their worldliness and their past situations and all this, we got less than 5 minutes to put truth in them. Their whole life has been messed up and they haven't had the truth and nobody's told them the truth. If we let them talk for 25 minutes while we're standing in front of them, we only get 30 minutes, that's not right. Mm-hmm. We have to learn to steer the conversation. We'll talk about that with a lady that we met today. But it just means learning when to step in, break the conversation, and then get it to the gospel. Get it to what they need. Get it to the things of God. Get it to truth. Get it to a rebuke. Get it to correction. And not just let them talk on and on and on and waste the time, valuable, precious time that you have. And a good example, I've got an article on that at the teaching blog on steering conversations. But a good example of that is go read Jesus or Paul or John the Baptist correspondence with people. You'll find Jesus didn't give the Pharisees much ground to say much at all, and then his conversations were either short with them, or he did a lot of talking to rebuke them. It wasn't a lot of them getting to say a lot of things. He was, like, sharp with them.
Right.
Here's a good example. Matthew 3:7, John the Baptist. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, hey, let's sit down and have a cup of coffee, and let me hear you guys' whole story about why you're this and that and what's going on in your life. No. It says, oh, you generation of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath of God? So John was quickly taking over the conversation, rebuking them. He knew what they needed. He wasn't about to listen to a lot of swill, false doctrine, false teaching. So steering the conversation, and we'll go right into it. Who did we meet today, Sister Amen? Let me set it up for you. So we didn't go to the Gospel Fest the second day. We decided to travel to another town. We missed that farmer's market, my bad. The Catholic Church preach was terrible. There was nobody there. But guess what? We pulled into a gas station, and what happened, Sister Amen?
A woman walked up because she saw the gospel signs, and she wanted to share her testimony with us. And as she was sharing it, we're going to listen because we don't know what her testimony is. So she was talking about it. There was a supernatural experience that happened to her that didn't line up with Scripture. But we listened up to the point where...
4 or 5 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, where we knew it was going to continue on, so I stepped in and I said, excuse me, sir, can I ask, were you seeking the Lord at that particular time when that happened? And so that was a good way to cut in and now bring it to biblical...
The gospel.
Teaching, yep, yep, of the gospel and the foundation which she ended up getting there. And it wasn't rude.
Nope.
It's not rude... Sisters, and I know sisters probably have a way harder time doing this because women like to listen and be kind and gentle and feeling and stuff. It's not rude. Just think about their souls over the top of it. And like Brother Tupo said, all the talking they do, if you let them go on and on, they might have to leave and you're not going to get the truth to them. So
yeah.
that was just one example, and we do that on the streets a lot. But yeah, she got a lot of truth, got the gospel, and she actually brought up one of the churches we just drove by and knew a bunch of people from when we were at Life Fest. We knew a bunch of people who said they went there. So
worldly carnal goat farm.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, so go ahead. I don't know.
And what I wanted to say was we heard enough of her testimony, 3 or 4 minutes, to say she saw some she had some supernatural signs that looked to me like were not of the Father, but that were demonic.
Exactly.
And that's when Sister cut in, and then I cut in right behind Sister, and I said, can I explain the gospel to you? And we started talking to her about the gospel, and we took over the conversation. She could still talk, but it was about the gospel, what a true saint looks like, where she may be lacking. We could see, standing in front of her, she hadn't gone very far, the church she's going to. She tried to defend them. We quickly shut that down and said, no, we're going to do a testing. And so we lovingly took over the conversation, and we had a half an hour conversation with her. She stuck around. She listened.
Yeah, she actually seemed to be receiving it.
Yep, and she maybe would maybe talked a total of maybe 10 minutes of that maximum. The rest of it was me and Sister Amin pouring truth into her that she desperately needed, and she thanked us at the end.
Oh, she did. Yeah, she got a lot of truth, and she was listening.
Yeah,
and so hopefully some of it goes deep in her.
Yeah, and what I always tell men is, get over the man-pleasing thing. Get over the idea that we're all going to walk away from conversations and everybody's going to get along and be happy. Get over that. It's not going to happen. Most times when you preach the gospel and you tell people what they need to hear, they're going to walk away and not like it, be mad, be offended, and then the Holy Spirit can work on them. That's what you want. You want the truth to offend them so they can go, I'm offended. Let them go read it in Scripture and go, oh my, it does say that. Why am I offended? Because I'm outside of the truth. If they go along with everything you're saying and you water it down, they have no chance to see how short they are, falling short of finding Christ and his shed blood and resurrection and coming to the gospel. So don't be afraid to tell people what they need to hear, not what you think they want to hear, and learn how to steer conversations. And what I wanted to talk about here real quick, emotional conversions. She had chills and shivers and all this stuff. And then she had hints of having a false Holy Spirit, which is familiar spirits from Satan that can lead you around and think you have the Holy Spirit, give you some comfort, give you peace, give you excitement. You're jumping up and down. Guess where it led her to? That worldly, carnal goat farm of a mega church that is going to deceive her, which is deceiving her. So we were talking about how that's not the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and we taught her what the Holy Spirit brings you.
Right.
We taught her what biblical holiness looks like. All in this 30-minute exercise, we gave her the gospel. We showed her what her life should look like. We pointed her in the right direction and said, we're here to help you.
She got a lot of truth.
Yeah, so by taking over the conversation, she walked away with everything she needed to go follow Christ versus she would have sat and gave us 30 minutes, and we would have been like psychiatrists where they just sit there and go, uh-huh. And then, $150 for that. She got what she needed.
Yeah, exactly. And it takes time, and you're going to learn as you encounter these sisters, you know, how to step in. You'll look for and pray that the Lord give you boldness and wisdom. And as you start doing it and you start seeing the other side of stepping in and being able to pour out the truth in them, most often many people walk away mad or upset, or
most
they're just
times.
Like, okay, I got to go. But what you're going to see is God's glory is number one.
Yep.
And then they're getting the truth. And like Brother Tupos was saying, you know, we don't want to sit there and listen to it. They've had themselves and living their lives for all their life thus far.
Yeah. Yep.
And they need help.
They need help. They need the truth.
It's like the doctor listening to the patient and he's like, no, be quiet. We got to get this done with him.
Exactly. The doctor knows what you need. If you're going there, you must trust him. You'll hear people in the audios all the time tell me, you're not listening to me. You won't let me speak. Mm-hmm. And I lovingly tell them, you're 50 years old. You've been in church for 40 years. Look at your life. You're outside of the Word of God. You need to listen to someone that will teach you the truth. Will you listen? And I pour truth out to them. And that's their only hope, not me. Their hope is that they'll listen to the truth, and I have to pour it out and get them to come to it. So work on controlling the conversations and steering it towards the gospel and what the Holy Spirit tells you they need, what the Holy Spirit's guiding you to say. And you can actually say that. Ready? Somebody can be pouring out their stuff to you, and you could say, they need the gospel. I can see they're not born again. You can say to them, you know what? I really feel like the Lord wants me to tell you this. And preach the gospel to them. And they might stop them in their tracks and go, Oh, they said that the Lord, we know the Lord wants people to hear the gospel. So right. Stop them in their tracks and tell them, I need to tell you this, and then take over the conversation. Sister Amen, we stopped at a little store. You went in. I waited in the van. Then when we were leaving, what did we see? A man and a woman doing what?
Oh, yeah. I saw them acting a little odd and strange, kind of being a little theatrical, not too far from our van. And as we were driving out, the woman was walking away.
Stormed away mad.
Yeah, and then stopped, and then was yelling, and then turned around, and he was yelling at her, and he came over by the van and was asking Brother Tupos for some money.
Yep.
And gave him a story and how they're having issues, and I won't go into all the details.
Yeah, I took a chance. They were arguing, and I said, you okay? And the young man came over to the van. He goes, man, I lost my cash card. She's mad at me, all this stuff. Man, I just need bus fare. I need $5 for bus fare. And I said, well, I'm sorry. I said, I do not give out cash. I said, I'm a Christian. I can't. I don't know you. I said, I can't give out cash. I said, where's the bus station? I'll go buy you a bus pass. Oh, man, it's way downtown. I just need the money right now, man. Sister Amma and I looked at each other later, and we thought, I wonder if that's a scam where they fight, they argue, just, I lost my cash card. He got the gospel.
He did.
He got love. I told him, call me, email me, I'll help you in any way I can. I can't hand out cash to you. And we kind of got let off the hook. His buddy showed up in a car, and I said, you need to go talk to your buddy. And the buddy was waving at him so his buddy could go give him a ride somewhere. I think it was a scam. Be careful with homeless people, drifters, anybody. They have a lot of intricate scams to try to get money.
Right, exactly.
So be careful of that. But that
he
was
got the best thing, more valuable than money.
Amen, amen, amen. We talked about drinking too much. Proverbs 31, 6 through 7. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be heavy of hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. A man that my brother found in the streets drinking, drunk, gave these scripture verses for excuses why he drinks and gets drunk as a so-called Christian. I'm not going to go into it here, but I'm going to have a teaching on this, and we're going to rightly divide this. Does the Bible teach for the New Testament today for Christians to get drunk and drown their sorrows? The answer is no. And we're going to go over that, and we're going to teach you that in a teaching that's coming up. So that kind of came up. All kinds of all kinds of interesting things we run into in the street ministry, isn't it, Sister Amma?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sister Amma, do you have any scriptures to share with us today?
Actually, I have a topic.
Oh, you have a topic?
Yeah, I have another one.
Oh.
I was thinking about, we pulled into one of our parking spots before we went to the preach the other day, and there was this big apple tree, and it had a bunch of apples on the ground. I think we talked about that.
Yeah.
And I went and checked them out, and they were all soft. So I was going to ask the store if we could have some of them if they're good, but they weren't. But anyway, I saw the apple tree, and in the parking lot, there's like 5 or 6 little tiny islands, we call them, where they put a tree or a bush or something. And I didn't see any other apple trees there, but I figured there had to be a pollinator somewhere.
Somewhere.
And so I figured it had to be a crab apple tree. And the next day, we happened to be by it, drove by it or whatever, and I saw it. And I was thinking about pollinators and the difference between like self-pollinating and cross-pollinating.
Right.
And so self-pollinating, you don't need something else to pollinate it. But cross-pollinating apparently seems to be, this is, I don't know if it's like, they seem to think that's better, because it says this, cross-pollination is preferred because it brings about variation in species.
Right.
I was just kind of looking that up real quick because I was thinking about the pollination and God's awesome creation. Then I was thinking about us as sister saints and how we can study and learn the scriptures by the power of the Holy Spirit,
right.
And we can learn.
Like a self-learner.
Yep, like a self-pollinator, kind
of. Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you want to put it that way. But in the body of Christ, when we get all this other views.
Cross-pollinate.
Which would be biblical.
Yep.
Yeah, biblical views, not just thoughts and experiences.
Right.
Because people explain the scriptures
insights, experiences.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's kind of like cross-pollinating, and then so it's going to have, we're going to be within ourselves, have like more of a variance of God's holy word and truth within us.
Yeah.
You know, if we allow ourselves to hear what the rest of the body is saying,
right.
And learning from them. You don't get that in man-made religion. Of course, they're teaching lies, but they got one person.
One guy.
Just pounding it in people
Instead
of like the New Testament where all the men are to be teaching and And I just thought that was kind of interesting.
That is interesting. And look at the topics we brought up about walking the lines, and if you had other saints to talk to, they'd all give you different experiences and different perspectives, and then you go test that to the Word of God, and you might find a whole plethora, if I could use that word, of different ways to approach different situations that you might have never thought of, that other saints that have experienced things have thought of.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I like that. Cross-pollination versus self-pollination. Yeah, that must be why iron sharpens iron.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it doesn't sharpen itself. One piece can't sharpen itself.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Holy Spirit could help a person, but
yeah. That's a good one. Anyway. That's an awesome one. I wanted to bring up a topic, and I have some scripture verses. Be filled. Brothers and I were talking about this. So the Bible talks about us being filled. I love this. Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Isn't that awesome? We're the temple of God, and he fills us with spiritual wisdom, wisdom and spiritual understanding. Philippians 1:11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. So this filling, we're like an empty vessel without Christ, or our vessel's filled with garbage and sin and worldliness. We dump it out. He helps us dump it out in repentance. He fills us with living water.
Amen.
Ephesians 3:19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. We get to be filled with the fullness of God. Isn't
that
awesome?
Awesome, yeah.
And so when you're thinking about being filled, there's lots of good verses about it, but how about this? Here's a terrifying one. Revelation 15:1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God.
I don't like that filling.
Yeah, that's a terrifying one. So God does a lot of filling. He fills his people. He's also going to fill up the world with wrath and judgment when he comes.
Yeah.
And so just think about that filling. What are you filling your life with? What are you filling your mind with? What are you filling your eyes with? What are you filling your fellowship with? If you have fellowship with other believers, what are you filling your time with? All of those things we were talking about earlier, we can use that and say, how are we filling ourselves up with the goodness, truth, righteousness of Christ? So just some good concepts and scriptures to think about, the constant filling of ourselves with the things of God. I think you do that by prayer, study, good Bible fellowship if you have it with true saints, and just walking in the ways of God. You agree with Sister Emma?
Amen, yeah.
Any thoughts on being filled?
I love being filled with the Holy Spirit and not those wicked spirits of Satan.
Yeah. Yeah, God fills us up. And what's awesome about it, he fills us to overflowing. And we get to pour out to other people.
And it pours out. The more you pour out, the more he gives you.
Amen. Amen. Anything else, Sister Amina? I think I'm done. That's about all I have tonight.
I have an encouraging section of scripture here.
Awesome.
And obviously, I just kind of pick these as I feel led. They don't always go along with what we're talking about.
That's perfectly fine.
So
fill us up with the Word of God, Sister Robin.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
I like that. You know, thinking about that, there's plenty of days where I feel like the outward man is perishing. No doubt
Every
about
day.
It. Every day, because we know we're closer to death and our bodies are dying. And so I feel that way. But then, there's that great hope of the inward man being renewed day by day.
Oh, the zeal and joy.
Makes me think of Apostle Paul when he says, I'm poured out as a drink offering. I'm poured out. I know my time has come. And he was in prison knowing he was probably going to be executed soon. And he knew his time had just about come. So that's a glorious position to be in, knowing that you've poured out to the Lord, but you're filled up with joy and hope and ready to go and be with him.
Right. Amen.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Well, tomorrow, if the Lord wills and we wake up and everything works right, we may be standing outside a religious body and we may have some reporting to do from there. We'll see how that goes, Sister Amin.
We'll see. The Lord knows.
Amen.
We'll find out.
And we're already plotting for our next preach, looking down the road. Can't believe it. We're headed towards the end of August.
Oh, I know.
It's going to be September, and if the Lord wills and he tarries and we live, we'll be headed south again in our preaching route and all kinds of other things that we're thinking about doing. So time is going by. Time is moving, and let's redeem the time, for the days are evil. Make sure that we're living for the Lord and making sure that every day we're filling it up to the best of our ability for the kingdom of God.
Right. Amen. Praise Amen. God. We're here to help and encourage and edify. Amen. And yeah, all Amen. That.
So let us know how we can help you in the faith. Shoot us an email. Make sure that you're seeking Christ in the gospel. Check it out at don'tperish.com. You seekers that are listening, you don't have much time left. I don't care if you live to be 80. You best repent and follow after Christ, because you don't know how much time you have left. I tell men all the time. I witness to men that are 24, and I go, you might only live to be 25, and they kind of look at me like they've never even pondered that. You might only live to be that long, so, or that old. So think about that. And no matter where you are, north, south, east, west, we're thinking about you. We love you. Cherishing all the saints all over the world, helping people walk in the things of God. And we're here for you. We love you. We care for your souls. We want to point you and remind you to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered. Brother Jude, Brother Jude told us that.
Yeah, he cut right to the point.
Amen. All right, till next time.
We love you all.
We love you all. Have a glorious day. God be praised.